السلام عليكم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Today we're having a discussion on two different types of economies around the world. One being a floating currency economy, the other being a pegged currency economy. We're going to take a closer look at that, and I hope to find this discussion valuable. We're going to discuss various valuations. The title, the primary valuation models of both floating currency economies and pegged currency. On the second page, we discuss the floating currency economy, PE, price to earnings ratio. It's an earnings-driven economy. The equities in these markets are valued primarily by price to earnings, either by using the PEG ratio or the PEGI ratio. But first, the PEG ratio evaluates the equities based on earnings growth, while the second factors in the dividend yield. Usually the PEG ratio is applied to growing type corporations in the middle of their lives. The PEGI would be more or less tacked on to dividend yield type equities, more mature companies that want to share the revenue with each stockholder. Earnings growth is crucial because it is a taxable economy. And that's what impacts currency, CH, GDP. So earnings-driven economies would theoretically measure GDP, tax revenues, earnings, and taxes overall. It's the way it's done within the floating currency economy. Let's move forward. Via the pegged currency economy, we look at the price to book value. The equities in these markets are valued based on assets owned. The price to book value formula is a true measure of valuation in the local equity market. As far as the currency is concerned, there is no sales tax that could impact the value of the local economy, local currency, or GDP. So why measure GDP except as a nominal growth rate indicator? In fact, the matter is the country or a region of the world that in essence looks for the inflationary or the price of commodities to be its lead indicator. As commodity prices and inflationary prices rise, so does the stock market. And I'll show you more in a moment. Moving forward, the floating currency and pegged currency economies. We discussed price-to-earnings ratios. We discussed price-to-book value. Now let's discuss the earnings-driven economy. Free floating currency, theoretical GDP, theoretical taxes paid, sovereign debt outstanding for the currency. All of them get impacted by the concept of paying taxes on their earnings. On the other hand, we have the pegged currency economy. Negligible taxes, GDP is only measured as a nominal indicator of growth. Moving forward, let's take a look at various investment vehicles via bonds and equities. In the Islamic investment, we have a murabaha, which is a short-term bond with no secondary market. They're held in-house, in the bank, in the brokerage firm. The valuations for said murabaha, short-term bonds, are basically, it'll go up and down based on the income stream coming in. As people are paying off the loans, the murabaha's value goes up. The short-term bond value goes up. As the income cuts off or doesn't get paid off, it comes down. And they get paid quarterly or certain increments of time. So that's number one, murabaha. Let's move forward to sukuk. These are longer-term bonds, 5 to 7 years, that trade in the free market. There is a secondary market for sukuk. They are trading internationally from Malaysia and Indonesia to London to America to Germany. Sukuk are large bonds, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they're being traded around the world by conventional bonds. They're called sukuk, which is the plural of the word fuk, which is the actual title of the property, asset-backed loan. So the title of the asset is a fuk. Plural, sukuk. Therefore, you have these long-term bonds. Finally, we have long-only equity stocks. They trade on local exchanges like a Dow. We discussed that pretty thoroughly earlier in my earlier video. Take a closer look at that. Now, let's take a look at the conventional investment vehicle. These are the international markets. We're looking at long-term, mid-term, and short-term U.S. government debt. Safest kind, apparently, sovereign risk is United States government. Thanks to the Bretton Woods Agreement, we're looking at 100% reliability on a dollar internationally, so therefore it is a de facto standard of excellence. T-bonds, T-notes, T-bills. Lovely stuff. Let's move on. Equities and common stock on the various markets, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, American Exchange, Philly Exchange, all over the U.S. We have different exchanges. The biggest ones are the New York, Euronext, and the NASDAQ, OMX. Those are the equity exchanges. Municipal bonds are state bonds, munis, otherwise called. Every individual state is rated individually. They have revenue-type bonds. They have a series of kinds of bonds. They have various tax advantages to local American citizens. Tax-free in terms of the states won't charge them taxes if they are financed by the individual living in the state. That's municipal bonds. In terms of fixed and variable annuities, these are insurance companies that are offering CDs, which are fixed, it's like a fixed income vehicle, fixed deposits. Variable annuities would be investments made in tax sheltered type insurance products that are given tax shelter for starters. Secondly, there are mutual funds inside of them. Let's move forward to banks. There's CDs, certificate of deposit, savings and checking accounts, all guaranteed. I believe they raised the standard for $100,000 to $250,000 guaranteed by the FDIC, which is backed by the U.S. Treasury, which is backed by the taxpayers, which are backed by the, apparently the T-bonds and T-notes and T-bills the rest of the world finances. So that's your security blanket right there, as far as the FDIC is concerned. Corporate bonds, preferred stock, convertible debentures. Corporate bonds are bonds that are rated individually as corporations. Same goes for preferred stock. They're in smaller increments. Instead of a face value of $1,000, they'll come in at face value of $25. Convertible debentures are even better because they're going to be giving you some kind of agreement sometimes that says it's a preferred stock that can be converted into equity. So if the price of the equity hits a certain point, you can change it from getting income from it as a preferred, saying, I want to own a piece of the company. Let the stock price go up. We're going to make more money. Called a convertible debenture. Let's move on. Collateralized debt obligations, CDOs. They've been in the news a lot recently. Let me explain it to you in a very rudimentary, basic style, if I could. We're talking about mortgages, subprime or prime, that were lumped together, a bunch of people's mortgages, subprime or prime, lumped together into a basket. They called it a CDO, which again is a collateralized debt obligation. Then they chopped it up into three parts, one being the people who are most likely to pay off their mortgages, the second tranche being people who maybe will pay off their mortgages, and then the third part, which is they probably won't pay off their mortgages. The ones that will, pay the least yield. The ones that might, pay the minimum yield. The ones that won't, pay the highest interest yield you can imagine, because it's the highest risk. These vehicle CDOs are very popular in Europe and America and parts of the Middle East, parts of Asia, because people want some kind of income stream. And they've been using it in other vehicles that are called structured deposits or structured products. They guarantee the capital via buying the CDO, one of the three tranches, and they move forward. The new inventions that we've seen recently are the CDSs, which are linked to the CDOs. I'll describe them in a moment. It's another innovation in the financial market. Collateralized mortgage obligations are not subprime and prime, they're just regular mortgages. And they're lumped up together. They're called CMOs, collateralized mortgage obligations. Let's discuss the credit default swap I just mentioned a moment ago. Our CDS is basically taking us back to pre-1973. Pre-1973, a stock option was basically a guy had a bunch of stocks. He'd call a guy who'd be a buyer or seller. There was no Chicago Board of Option Exchange. There was no exchange for the option that set dates of duration for the option contract that had exchanges to monitor prices and regulate prices for trading. That's what goes on today on the CBOE, the Chicago Board Option Exchange. Now, pre-1973 is what we're living in today with this new invention of CDS. It's an insurance policy on mortgages. I think the AAA rated mortgages, the most likely to be paid mortgages, and we write a little piece of paper on it, call it CDS, credit default swap, and they say, it's your insurance. It'll trade in the market. What market? Where does it trade? It's like taking us back in time to when I was 3 years old. I was born in 1970. In 1973, they regulated the options. That's exactly how chaotic our friends on the Wall Street, Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanley's and the like, have made this CDS market. I'm very disappointed in that. But you're going to see regulation coming up soon. A lot of people are complaining. What all has gone on? Well, the CDSs have exploded, the CDOs have exploded, the CMOs have exploded. They're talking about credit card debt, talking about auto debt. Credit card companies, auto companies are bankrupt and begging for money from the bank. Look at the photo on the top here. Can you see it? I got the dollar in a bubble. The dollar's falling. Okay, the trading dynamics, the floating currency economy. Over my 15 years experience in brokerage in the USA, the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, I've seen both analysts and the media emphasize different ratios in different cycles of the market. In other words, while certain industries are in favor of their respective ratios and indicators, they're predominant in their reports. Now, let's just take an example if we could. The biotechnology and the internet stocks. What all happened there is basically, back in the 90s, for instance, we weren't even measuring earnings in the USA. We were watching cash flow, we were watching metrics, we were watching hope, we were looking at the themes of the corporation and valuing them, watching stock price fly in these bubbles. Is that the rationale of logic? Who sit there and watch these people take valuations of the stock market in the 90s were an extension of the mindset of venture capitalists. The guy's venture capitalist gets enthusiastic, he puts his money in way before the company goes public. He's excited. That's how the final market, the New York Stock Exchange, the NASDAQ, were thinking like that back in the 90s. I have to say, with what else going on with mortgages and CDS today, people stay out in the same mindset. Okay? So, that's my two cents worth. Fact is, earnings never materialized in a lot of these IPOs, and a lot of these internet stocks, and as a result, we've all collapsed. And we see the same happen with CDOs, we see the same happen with real estate. The travesty, it really is. Let's move on to the trading dynamics of the pegged economy. The falling dollar causes inflation, which is a gift in this economy. Simply because the stock market tend to reflect the rising value of their inventory. In other words, the stock price rallies when the price of the underlying commodity rallies. You can take a look at jewelry stores and the price of gold. There's a company here by the name of Fitch. The stock price is doing very well as gold rallies. There's another company by the name of Ma'adin. They're a mining commodity price company. As commodity prices rise, when you're looking for steel or gold or ore, whatever they happen to be mining, their stock price reflects the rally. But fantastic things are happening. That's the fundamental difference between floating and peg. Floating is driven by earnings and earnings forecasts and dividend yield. While peg is looking at what is the price of commodities today, how much is my inventory worth, what is my price to book value, the price should be ascending as my book value increases. The logical system is consistent with all the different accounting. What's got my mind boggled, and where I got to tell you, I have a little logic of mind. I got a lot of people excited because I explain the financial markets with such ease. But what blows my mind is the theoretical. We're looking at the new economic principles. We're looking at the SDR, the special drawing right. This really exciting stuff. Stay tuned because we're going to be discussing this a lot more as we see the IMF blow out more and more information. On the website, you're going to be able to see on the bottom the link to various IMF descriptions of the SDR, its impact on the Bretton Woods Agreement, how we can obtain fair market value for commodity prices for economies around the world. The SDR, a lot of people, a lot of countries are excited about this. We're going to take a closer look. Well, the KIN Consortium. Please feel free to comment. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks again.